You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter, Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship-winning quarterback, Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. Which dogs are barking first?
Now, with the latest from around the world of the SEC and college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. Puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Week 8 is here, Jake Fromm, and it is going to be a huge weekend across the SEC and, of course, all across college football. We get a top 5 matchup in Austin, Texas. It's the third weekend in October, which means Alabama is kicking off against Tennessee. A bunch of other matchups we are going to cover, as well as some big time news and headlines. First things first, how are you, bro?
Hey, man, doing great. It's a big weekend. The Dogs play a good one. It's going to be fun to talk about. Can't wait to get into it.
No doubt. Going to be a lot of fun to talk about. Plenty of things to discuss in regards to this number one Texas versus number 5 Georgia matchup in Austin, F1 weekend. College game day will be there. I've heard of a ton of people heading out there. If you're going, let us know. Send us some pictures. Again, at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at From Jake. On social media, should be an unbelievable weekend. The weather here in Atlanta, Jake, is spectacular. Feels like fall. Not sure how long it's going to hang around, but the high today was like 60, not a cloud in the sky. It is football weather. And when it's football weather, it's also Prize Picks weather. That's exactly right. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our proud partners, Prize Picks. Do one thing for us. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, sign up, and use the promo code PUNT. When you do that and you play a $5 lineup, you get $50 instantly. Win or lose, you instantly receive $50 when you use the promo code PUNT. There is no better offer in daily fantasy right now. That's why Prize Picks is the number one daily fantasy platform in all of North America. And it's so easy. All you do is pick more or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you watch the winnings roll in. You can win up to 100x your money. Major League Baseball playoffs are going on. The league championship series, it actually be pretty fun to follow along with, Jake. You have football on, I believe, every night, every single night until the night before Thanksgiving. We have football on our TVs. It's a beautiful thing. NFL season is here. College basketball about to get rocking and rolling. Hockey is back. cross-board entries. Golf is still going on. Prize Picks is the best. Again, pick 2 to 6 players. Predict that they will go more or less than their stat projections. You can win up to 100x your money. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. And when you play a $5 lineup, you get $50 instantly. Tell a family member, tell a friend. Shout out to Prize Picks. Follow them on social media as well, at Prize Picks. A great follow for all of your daily fantasy needs. All right, let's jump straight into Three and Out. And it's first down, Jake. I saw this article yesterday. I saw the headline, Jake. I thought it was clickbait. I said, this is crazy. And then I started to read the article and I said, well, this fella might have a point. USA Today Sports yesterday on Tuesday, October the 15th, Matt Hayes writes an opinion article and he poses the question, is the Georgia at Texas game this weekend Kirby Smart's biggest game in his 9 years as the coach at the University of Georgia? Pretty shocking headline, I would say, for a guy that's played in 3 national championship games, perennial SEC championship, college football playoff contender. Is this weekend the biggest game in Kirby Smart's 9-year tenure at Georgia? I guess before we actually dive into the article and what was discussed, Jake, give me your initial thoughts, your initial emotional reaction when I asked that question to you.
Yeah, so that article, that line, headline is 100% clickbait. That is all
okay.
It is.
Wow.
It is not the most important game ever played under a Kirby Smart coach football team. The most important game ever played and ever coached under a Kirby Smart coach football team was the Redemption National Championship.
I would
in which
agree.
We won back in 2021. There is no if and or buts about it. That was the game that just going to transcend the Georgia football program into another level.
Yes.
That was the game. It solidified it. Like, hey, we're here to stay. We can do this. This is totally doable. And they accomplished it. They did it a year after that with TCU. They should have had an opportunity to win 3 in a row. That didn't happen. And the reason I say all of this, because at the end of the day, they could lose to Texas on the road in a tight one and still get into the college football playoff.
Yes.
And all their hopes and dreams are still in front of them. The college football landscape is completely different because there are 12 teams that are getting in this dance at the end of the year. And that changes everything.
Look, I totally agree. When you talk about the most important game in the history of Kirby Smart's tenure at Georgia, clearly it was the national championship game against Alabama. In 2022, it was the 2021 season. For all the reasons you just mentioned, Georgia was on a 40-year national championship drought. You had just gotten boat raced by Alabama, the team that you could not overcome in the SEC championship less than a month before.
Yep.
The other coach was Kirby's predecessor, not his predecessor, his mentor, the greatest coach in the history of college football, Nick Saban. It was an absolute behemoth on the other sideline for a national title. And as a Georgia alumni and as a Georgia fan, walking into that game, I was there. If we had lost that game, demoralizing in every sense of the word, in every sense of the word, what is being a Georgia football fan if they could not win that game? They won that game. That was, I think, the most important victory, not during Kirby Smart's tenure, but in the history of Georgia football. I actually got into a great dialogue with a great Georgia Bulldog by the name of Rob Matry. Go follow Rob on social media at Rob Matry. And Rob said 1980 versus Florida was the greatest victory in the history of Georgia football. I said, Rob, look, I was born in 1989. I'm not going to get into this with you in that particular moment, but you're hard pressed to tell me that the 1980 victory was more important to Georgia football on the whole than what happened in Indianapolis when Georgia avenged that loss to Alabama. They overcame the monkey on their back. They beat the Beast. They beat Nick Saban. They won a national championship against a dynasty. That is what it is. There's no doubt. But going back to Matt Hayes's article from the USA Today, posing the question, is it the most important? You and I both agreed it's not. Good clickbait. He does make some pretty good points. He's saying, look, Georgia's a different team than it has been in the last couple of years. And I'll put my hand up and I'll say there's no question about it. That is absolutely a fact. But guess what? College football is a different sport than it has been in the last 3 to 4 years. The talent distribution is certainly spread out far and wide. NIL and the transfer portal has brought parity to this sport like we've never seen before. And he essentially says, and he's making the point, that if Steve Sarkisian, who's knocked off Alabama in Bryant-Denny Stadium a year ago, who has made it to the college football playoff already, who has done everything except win a national championship up at this point, if Steve Sarkisian and Texas are able to beat Georgia this weekend, then all of a sudden they are the top dog in the SEC. And Georgia has already been dismounted from their dynasty status, which has been really established since that 2021 season. To me, I say that's a cute narrative. Yeah, I guess we could have that discussion. But Jake, it's week 8. There's so much football left. I was actually talking to my buddy who's in town. He likes college football. He's not the biggest college football fan. But the first thing he said was, well, even if Georgia loses this weekend, they're still in the hunt. You have to take into account they went to Alabama. They're going to Texas. They're going to Ole Miss. You have to take these things into account to where, look, if they lose this game, the season is not over, as you just said, Jake.
Yeah, it's definitely not over, especially in the fashion in which they came back in that Alabama football game. Now, if they lose this game, it's depending on how they lose this game. 100%. You know, is it a tight 100%. One now? Now they get boat raced. Hey, now we're having a completely different conversation. Yes. But if it is close and is tight, you know, kind of like how the Alabama game ended up. Yes, 100% still in the hunt. Everything they want is right there in front of them. You know, what really kind of stuck out to me in this article was talking about kind of the decline of the defense. Obviously, that's just something that
statistically, you know, he backed it up.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it with our eyes, but now we're kind of getting some stats and some data to back it up a little bit. And it's just not what we're used to seeing. Usually the defense has been the most consistent thing we're used to seeing out of this Georgia football team. But let me tell you, you know who has the best defense in college football right now?
Are you going to say Texas?
Texas.
Look, they're allowing 6.4 points per game. Jake, they've played nobody. They've played nobody. Continue, please.
Points allowed and yards allowed. Even if you haven't played anybody, I still think it is impressive. It's somewhere where Georgia has statistically and usually been in years past. I don't know. It's just kind of like what brand of football is Texas playing now? Looks like they're playing that physical and tough brand of football. I think it's going to be a great matchup. But yes, I would love to see the Dogs come out with a win here. But even if they do fall, there's still hope ahead.
Third down defense was one that he specifically had pointed out, and scoring defense. Look, Georgia this year so far, through the first 7 weeks, they're allowing 17.2 points per game. That's elevated from seasons past. Total defense, 312.5 yards per game. That's elevated from seasons past. But what he alludes to the most, as far as stylistically, is the third down defense. Georgia fans, opponents, analysts, college football fans have expected Georgia to be elite on third down. They get off the field. In 2023, they were first in the nation on third down, only allowing 25.7% of third down plays to be converted. In 2022, they were second in the nation, Jake. 26.6% of third down plays were converted for third downs. This year, while it seems kind of nominal in a statistical sense, 32.9% of third down plays through 7 weeks of the 2024 season are converting for first down plays. That is one of every four converted to one of every three. So that makes a big difference throughout the course of a football game. Then he alludes to the lack of pass rush. Then he alludes to the penalties. Then he talks about some of the disciplinary stuff on and off the field. And he's just making the point of the tides are seemingly, from a statistical standpoint, are starting to change with Georgia football, and how this weekend could be a huge deflection point, inflection point of where this team is going to go. And look, Kirby Smart's the first one who says that in every press conference. He said it repeatedly this week, Jake. We have not played a complete game. We have not played a complete game. Now we have the opportunity to do that going up against the number one team in the nation. I found the article to be fascinating. Again, Matt Hayes, USA Today, read the article for yourself because he brings some hard truths. I do just think the title might have been a bit clickbaity.
Yeah, definitely the title, 100%. A stat that he didn't have in the article that I'm thinking my brain's clicking, it's turning, would be explosives given up on defense. I just feel that I've seen with my eyes it happen a little bit more this year than I've been accustomed to in the past couple years. So that, trust me, that's a big deal. When you're situational football, you're getting plays off the field on third down, talking about the defense and staying on the field on offense, that is huge. You're giving yourself more opportunities to score. And then obviously with the explosives, man, if you can create an explosive and all of a sudden you're backed up on your own 50 and now you're in opponent territory, look, that is huge. That is big time for an offense, and it usually leads to points.
He does have a small blurb in here. He precedes it by saying Georgia ranks 110th in the nation, only forcing 5 turnovers so far this season. They've got to fix it. You got to take the ball away, right? Especially with the elite talent that you have on defense. Take the ball away. Get some additional drives for your offense. But, Jake, here he goes with the chunk plays. Quote, meanwhile, the defense gives up a respectable average of about 10 big plays, 10 plus yards per game, but 9 of the season total of 64 have gone for 30 plus yards. 9 plays against Georgia's defense have gone for 30 plus yards. Those are true chunk plays. When I was in the NFL, Jake, it might be the same in Detroit. Chunk plays were 25 plus yards. I want you to tell everybody how much time is dedicated in an NFL locker room to situational football weekly. I remember when I was in Arizona, there was an hour-long team meeting on Friday mornings just about situational football. Chunk plays, a 12-man on the field situation like Dan Lanning showed last week, third down, special teams, plus minus 40. Tell us what it's like in an NFL locker room when it comes to situational football.
Well, when you just look at the week, if you're saying, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Monday is a clean up the game type of day. Well, Wednesday is your normal down day, first and second down. And then really after that, Thursday is situational football. That's third down, high red zone. Friday, red zone, short yardage, backed up. Saturday, we're going through all the other situational stuff, 2-minute, 4-minute, get the ball back, all those kind of situations. So really, after Wednesday install and practice, everything after that is situational football. I mean, we're talking 60, 70% of the game ends up being situational football. So it is critical. What you do on those downs and in those battles determines your outcome in the game all the time, every 100%. Time. Yes, it does.
And if you don't think heading into this matchup this weekend, which we're about to talk about a little bit more in depth when we go inside the five, we'll come down to situational football, then I have a bridge to sell you, because that's exactly what's going to happen when you go best on best and you have a top five matchup. So great breakdown there. Jake and I in agreement that it's not the biggest game in Kirby Smart's tenure, but it is an important game. There's no doubt about that. All right, let's hit second down quickly. Thought this was pretty interesting. ESPN.com comes out and ranks the top 25 players in college football at the mid-season mark. And while I found the list to be a little bit entertaining, Jake, I thought more interesting was the players who did not make the list. Carson Beck, not on the list. Don't think that's any surprise as to how he's been playing, more so the offense as a whole. Jackson Dart, not on the list. I mean, Ole Miss came out steaming hot beginning of the season. Nico Iamaliava, he's not on the list. Number one, though, and this should be unanimous, Ashton Jeanty, the Boise State running back. That's guy is a total freak. He's got to be ahead in the Heisman race. If you're up late Saturday night and Boise State's on TV, watch this guy. His props, his stat projections on Prize Picks are like 184, 195 rushing yards a game. Jake, it's crazy. This kid is incredible.
Yeah, I don't know this stat, but I wonder, you know, Ashton Jeanthi has 17 touchdowns this season, which is absolutely absurd. I mean, the only person
1,248 rushing yards already.
I mean, if his stats 9.9
per carry.
I mean, if he was a quarterback, these stats would be absurd. I think the only person who has more touchdowns than he does this season is Cam Ward at Miami with 20. So,
and number two player on the list, Cam Ward.
Yes, correct? And he, you know, Ashton Jeanthi is just playing phenomenal. I really hope he keeps this up. I would actually love to see this young man win a Heisman. I think it's a year for a running back to do it. I don't think any of the quarterbacks have really separated themselves. It's Ashton Jeanthi, Travis Hunter, and Cam Ward's to kind of win or lose right now. I think it's those three. I'd love to get your thoughts on who else could possibly be in that mix. But there's a couple names maybe missing, but I mean, for the most part, it's fine. I think the guys that are missing, maybe Jackson Dart. I think Jackson Dart played well enough.
He's put up some serious numbers. Yeah.
He's put up some really good numbers to make this list. But I just think the expectations for Carson were so high.
Sky high. Yeah.
And it's not that he hasn't played well at times and put up video game numbers at times, because he most certainly has. We're just looking for it in a big time game, being that big time football player. And this is a great opportunity for him going in this Saturday with Texas.
Ashton Jeanthi, on pace to break Barry Sanders' single-season record for rushing yards and touchdowns in a season. Already, he's posted three games with more than 200 rushing yards, his lowest rushing yard total in a game, Jake, 127 yards, just a measly 127. So he leads the way, number one ranked player through the midseason point of the season. Cam Ward, Miami's quarterback, right behind him. Travis Hunter, who's going to be dealing with an injury over the next couple of weeks. He is at number three. A couple of offensive linemen are on the list as well. Ryan Williams at 9, the Alabama receiver. Thought he should have been a little bit higher. I mean, that kid is an absolute game breaker. Well,
they haven't thrown him the ball the last two games.
You're totally right. He crushed my Prize Picks entry last week, which was so demoralizing because the other two were absolute cakewalks. So shame on Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama offense for not getting Ryan Williams the ball. I even tweeted it out. I said, hey, shocking development here. I have an idea for Alabama's offense. Throw Ryan Williams the ball. He's pretty good. He can probably get open. Jeremiah Smith, number 11, Ohio State's freshman wide receiver. And then going down the list, a couple of names that you're not familiar with but are putting up big numbers, Jalen Milroe, Alabama's quarterback at 20. So a good look there as well. All right, third down. This news broke yesterday as well, and we need to talk about it. It's kind of upsetting, but I guess, again, new age of college football, what are you going to do? Clean old-fashioned hate, the Georgia-Georgia Tech rivalry. This year, it changed quite a bit. Yeah, it's being played on a Friday night. The Friday after Thanksgiving, so it won't be on Saturday. That game's in Athens. Okay. Television says they want to give it a little bit more shine. They're putting it on Friday night. Cool. Guess we'll deal with it. But next year, Jake, 2025, we're going back to Bobby Dodd on the flats. No. Nope. This game will be played inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, a neutral site for Georgia, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech decided to move the 2025 matchup against Georgia to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Here's the deal. Tech Athletics has a six-year contract with Mercedes-Benz Stadium, playing one game inside the Benz per year. They played Clemson last year. They're playing Notre Dame this weekend. They played Clemson 2 years ago, Louisville last year in the season opener. They get to choose one game a year that they can put inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Next year, they chose the Georgia game. We played at a neutral site. Jay Batt, the athletic director at Georgia Tech, said that this move was also motivated by a $10 million incentive that Georgia Tech Athletics will be receiving in order to move the game to Mercedes-Benz. He said, in the new era of college football, we need to look and uncover every single way we can create revenue generation. This is clearly one of them. But Jake, I saw a great meme today. It said clean old-fashioned hate is now corporate old-fashioned hate. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. It'll be weird.
I mean, I think that pretty much hits the nail on the head right there. I mean, it's just like a cha-ching. It's all about the dollar signs. And Georgia Tech is looking for alternative ways to raise money in this new landscape of college football for NIL, for renovations at the stadium, for weight room, all these different things that go into the college football landscape nowadays. They're trying to find ways to raise money. This is one of those ways. I hate to see it in a game like this. I don't know. I love this game. This game was always very good to me. And I hate to see it.
Yes, it was.
You know, I just hate to kind of see it kind of go away from what it has been. This is just such a man. I don't know. It's just tradition. It's just tradition, and now it's not anymore. It's just turned into something else, and I don't like it.
This will be the first time Georgia Tech has been played off campus since 1913. Come on, man. What are we doing? You can't do this to clean old-fashioned hate. And, of course, Jay Batt's going to say, hey, dude, I just secured the bag. Shout out to my Gen Z listeners. And Josh Brooks, he's like, look, we love playing in a first-class facility. What's Josh Brooks going to say? This move sucks. We're against it. We don't want to go play. I mean, his hands are obviously tied as well. So Jay Batt gets a $10 million bag dangled out in front of him. Obviously, give it to me. Josh Brooks says, okay, I have no say in the matter. We'll go to Mercedes-Benz. Now the challenge becomes, how are you going to get tickets, right? Because these games are not included in the Georgia Tech season ticket package. If you do have a personal seat license, a PSL inside Mercedes-Benz, you do have access to the tickets. But I think it presents a great opportunity for Georgia fans to flood that building of 75,000 plus capacity. And it should be a good atmosphere. I mean, I guess the best case scenario, Jake, is if next year that Saturday is like horrible weather, cold and rainy. Like, I guess hat tip to Georgia Tech for making the change. But first time since 1913 this game's being played off campus in either Atlanta or Athens. It just feels different. And it'll feel different this year on a Friday night as well.
Yeah, I mean, that too. Yeah, man, that's you know, glad you brought that up. I mean, that's different too. Day after Thanksgiving, I mean, guys are still going to be stuffed. I mean, I don't know. And then something that you said too that made me kind of go, wait a minute. If they have a 6-year contract to play one game per year at Mercedes-Benz,
right?
Why on earth is that not included in the season ticket package?
I don't know. You know, I read that in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today, and they were talking about how, you know, over the past 5 or so years, some Georgia fans purchased Tech season tickets to get the tickets at Bobby Dodd Stadium because it's smaller capacity, obviously. Yeah. They were just discussing how, for whatever reason, those tickets are not included in the season ticket package at Georgia Tech because it's not on their property. So
that's bizarre.
If I'm wrong there, don't blame me. Blame the AJC. I read that today.
I like that.
Let me just say one last thing on this regard. I do a lot of stuff for $10 million. Okay. If I'm the athletic director and they're like, hey, move the game 2.5 miles south or less than that, a mile south, I'd be like, yeah, I'll let my fans, you know, bitch and moan at me. They can send me mean emails. I'll take $10 million to the bottom line. All right, let's do our prize pick segment of the week. I have a pretty good one. It's very simple. I'm doing the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. All right. Last week should have had a winner. Didn't have a winner. This weekend, it's a bona fide winner. There's no doubt about it. I am eyeing the Georgia-Texas game. Everybody's going to be locked into this game. Here are the two talking points that I continue to hear about the Georgia-Texas game. Oh, yeah. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. First $5 entry, you win $50 instantly. Win or lose. It's that simple. Use the promo code PUNT. All I continue to hear, Texas hasn't played anybody. Specifically, they haven't played anybody who can throw the football. So Georgia's offense is going to present them an issue if they so choose to throw it and throw it often. My first square on the entry this week. Arian Smith, Georgia wide receiver, more than 49 and a half receiving yards. Coach, that's one catch.
It's one catch. For what they ask him to do, 100%, that is one catch.
One catch, Arian Smith, one chunk play or two chunk plays, more than 49 and a half receiving yards. Okay. Moving on to the second square, Quinn Ewers. They're going to try to get Quinn Ewers to spin it. There's no doubt about it. Texas's running back room has been decimated by injuries this year. Georgia's secondary, not exactly the strongest as it has been in years past. Quinn Ewers, more than 255 and a half passing yards. The damn freshman, the true freshman from Mississippi State, just cooked Georgia's defense. I don't want to play recency bias, but you got to believe Steve Sarkisian's licking his chops saying, yeah, we can get after these guys. Daylon Everett, Julian Humphreys, Isaiah Bond. Let's go ahead and get Isaiah Bond down the field. I know he's dealing with a little ankle injury. Let's spread it out a little bit. Quinn Ewers, are you kidding me? 255 and a half yards, more than 255 and a half passing yards. That's it. It's that simple, Jake. I'm telling you right now, that's the entry of the week on Prize Picks. Arian Smith, more than 49 and a half receiving yards. Quinn Ewers, more than 255 and a half passing yards. $50 to win $137.50.
I like it. I think DB's getting hot this week, guys. So watch out.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, that's it. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get an instant $50 when you play your first $5 entry.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
All right, let's go inside the five. We'll just jump straight into the Georgia-Texas game, Jake. It's the biggest game of the weekend. College game day is there in Austin, Texas. The F1 race is on Sunday as well. I was listening to radio today. They said they looked it up in real time. A Red Roof Inn in Austin was selling a room for $2,800 on Saturday night. It's just crazy. No. And what a juxtaposition between the F1 fan, Jake, and a Georgia and or Texas college football fan. You have Natty Light and chicken wings and barbecue on one side, and you've got champagne and caviar in the other. It's F-150 trucks and Mercedes and Porsches and Ferraris. I love it. I love it. What a beautiful sight it will be in Austin. Number five, Georgia at number one, Texas. 7:30 p.m. kick on ABC. Texas is up to a 4-point favorite. The total here, 56 and a half points. Talk to me, Coach.
Yeah. As you were kind of going through your prize pick segment, I was just kind of thinking in my head, I could see the message from both head coaches to their teams saying about the other team that they haven't played anybody yet. They haven't been tested, you know, and that they're not as good as they think they are. I mean, really, that could be the message to both of those teams right. and to their guys. So I don't know. I think there's a lot more unknown in this game than you would think, being what, 6, 7, 8 weeks into the college football season. I don't know. There's a lot of unknown. Quinn Ewers getting back, finished strong in the second half of the Oklahoma game. Don't get me wrong. I like the Dogs in this one.
Do you?
And I do. I do. I think their backs are against the wall. They haven't played their best game yet, as Kirby has mentioned.
Yeah.
That's going to be a challenge to those guys, and I think they're going to step up and respond and meet the challenge, man. I mean, if not now, then when? I think this is the time to do it. And like you said, I don't think Texas has played anybody, but their defense is a good defense, and I think we're going to have to throw it to win it. I think it's going to be two great quarterbacks going after it.
Tell me this. Kirby's message to his team, because I do agree with you. I think Steve Sarkisian's telling that to his team as far as like grounding them. We have not played anybody. This is a huge matchup for us. I'm sure he's also telling them, we've been there. We've done that. We went to Tuscaloosa last year. We beat Alabama. You're ready for this moment. But also kind of serving them a small slice of humble pie by saying, you've not been tested yet this season. He can easily say Georgia has been tested. Look what they did when they were down. They've been to a raucous environment. I agree with you in the sense that that's what I think Steve Sarkisian's telling Texas. What is Kirby Smart telling his team? I that's where I don't know. Is he saying you guys haven't played anybody? Is he saying we have not played a complete game yet? My thought is that he might be saying, who are we? Who are you guys, right? It's not his team. It's the players' team. I think he's certainly saying that. It's time for the players to take ownership of who they want to be for the rest of 2024. And he can easily tell them, you guys have not played a good game yet. You don't even know who you are. I don't think he's giving that message, Jake, in a very demeaning manner, because I don't think he wants to beat down his team heading into this game, but in a challenging manner. Who are you? You know, I think the fact that Georgia played a night game on the road in Bryant-Denny, College game day was there, and they fell flat on their face for that first half, certainly plays to their advantage. They're going to know what Saturday feels like. It's in the same exact time zone. They're going to have to go through the media rigmarole. They're going to walk into a crazy environment. They've been there. They've done that. It did not work out as they wanted it to. Who is Georgia? That is my biggest question. It's got to be Coach Smart's biggest question. How do you pose that question to the team in order to say, I believe in you guys, go make it happen?
Yeah, I think they found out a little bit of who they are in the second half of that Alabama game. And then I think now it's more of the question of who do you want to be and what do you want to accomplish?
Yeah.
And obviously with the game at task ahead, yes, a win would be very nice. Playing your best game would be phenomenal. And I think right now also kind of in mixed and intermingled in all this, I think Kirby is kind of thinking how we are, like, hey, look, we don't have to win this football game to get in. So, like, don't make this game bigger than what it is. Do your job. Do what we're asking you to do. Relax. Go cut it loose. We've been in these situations before. They haven't. The bullseye is on their back. And let's go take
100%. 100%. I totally agree with you. Throwing out all bias, I totally agree with you. Georgia's been there. They've done that. These players have played in these moments. They've played for championships. They've played in big games. They just did it 3 weeks ago in Tuscaloosa. So I definitely agree with you in that regard. I will say this. You mentioned, hey, they don't have to win this game. And no, they don't. But let's just go back to the bigger picture of what college football is like now, and more specifically in the SEC, Jake, how every single week you cannot take a break. You really can't, and I want to compare it directly to the team you're on now, the Detroit Lions, because the SEC now is like a microcosm of the NFL. Kirby Smart and coaches all across the league have continued to say it. The margins are tighter. Teams are better. Talent is dispersed. It's tougher to win than it's ever been. And if you think a team is just going to waltz through the league and go undefeated, it's different now. Let's look at the last three games for the Detroit Lions, okay? Seattle Seahawks come to town. It's Monday Night Football, must win. The Seahawks and the Lions have played great games the past two seasons. Got to get hype. Offense has a great, great game. Awesome. Big win for the Lions. Hey, guess what? Got to go to Dallas next. Yeah, take your deep breath. You had a little bye week. You got to go to Dallas next. Got to go to Jerry's World. Cowboys need a big win. They haven't won at home yet. You got to get hyped up. Lions take care of business, 47-9. Celebrate. Little injury to one of the best players in the league. Guess what? Now we got to go to Minnesota. Divisional opponent. They're undefeated. They look unstoppable. Their defense is great. It's every single week in the NFL. And guess what? That's happening now in college football. So while you say, and I tend to agree with you, hey, you don't have to win this game, you better win it because it's just going to get harder and harder, win or lose. So hopefully you follow me there with that comparison, but it's just the new age of college football. I cannot state that enough.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got dudes, everybody's got players.
Everybody.
You better show up. And you better play your best game. And coaching wise, you better have a good plan as well. Make sure it's simple. Make sure you guys know how to execute. Because every week, man, you're getting hit in the mouth. These other teams have dudes. They have good coaches. You got to show up and you got to play and be your best.
All right, so let's do our prediction here. I think Texas is going to put up points. I think Georgia's up for the challenge. I think they can keep it relatively close. Would not be surprised if Georgia loses this game. Would not be surprised if Georgia wins this game. Does that sound like a cop-out answer? Yes, because it probably is. Listening to radio today, I heard some people say Georgia won't even be able to compete. I heard people say Georgia doesn't stand a chance. And you know what? I love hearing that because when the public is so heavily on one side,
yep.
I love to be on the other. Give me the 4 points with Georgia, please, and thank you.
Yep.
Again, battle-tested, experienced, have been in this exact same spot less than a month ago in Alabama. 38-35, dogs win.
See, I was going 34-31.
Okay, there you go.
I think we're right there. We're thinking the same thing.
Texas is going to throw it. Georgia's going to throw it.
Oh, yeah.
The game might last 5.5 hours because they should be offense all over the field. You know, Georgia's got to get pressure on the quarterback. There's no doubt about it. I don't know. Like, again, kind of a cop-out answer, but I think Georgia actually does have a good chance to win. And Reese Davis even said so on an interview this week. He's like, I think Georgia's got a great chance to win. So people all over the map on this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to
watch. Till 7:30 on Saturday.
Sure. All right. Third Saturday in October. Let's run through these pretty quickly. 7th ranked Alabama on Rocky Top at 11th ranked Tennessee. This is your lead in game to that 7:30 kick, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. Bama, a 3-point favorite. Total here, 56.5 points.
Yeah. To me, I think this is all about Jalen Milroe versus Nico Amaliava. And Nico just has not played that great of ball since the beginning of the year, since the first two or three games of the year. I think this is just Jalen Milroe's time. I think he's about to lock it in for the rest of the season and take this Alabama football team where they want to go. I got Alabama in this one. I know it's going to be a tough environment. Tennessee coming off, that loss to Arkansas, and they got a bad taste in their mouth, but I don't know. I got Alabama in this one.
How about this? Tennessee was averaging over 60 points per game in the first 3 weeks of the season. I don't care who you play. That's damn impressive.
Yep.
In the last 2 weeks, they've been shut out in the first half, have not scored a point in the last 2 weeks in the first half against Arkansas or Florida. Conversely, Alabama hasn't looked right since the second half of that Georgia game. Yes, they lost to Vanderbilt, nail biter last week against South Carolina. I love Dylan Sampson, the running back from Tennessee. He might be the best in the SEC. He has 15 rushing touchdowns so far this season, Jake. Tennessee has lost 16 of the last 17 games against Alabama. Mm. This right here gives them every opportunity to put the train back on the tracks. I just feel like something is innately wrong with Alabama at the moment, and I love Tennessee's defensive line. Can they affect Jalen Milroe, keep him in the pocket? I like Tennessee. Give me the 2.5 points or the 3 points. Give me the 3 points, please. And thank you. All right, LSU heading to take on Arkansas. This is your night game, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Had to throw this one in there because my man Jake loves his fight in Sam Pittman's. LSU, a 2.5-point favorite coming off that huge emotional win in overtime against Ole Miss last week. The total here, 55.5.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Huge emotional win. And I think they're just going to be just tired, exhausted, and run out of gas. Going to Arkansas, night game again. Can they get up for another big-time football game? Let me tell you this. Arkansas football team is a good football team. Yeah. They're going to hit you. They're going to hit you in the mouth for four quarters. And they have just different ways to win games. They've been in every single game that they've played in. They've lost two down at the wire, A&M, Oklahoma State. I think they win this game versus LSU.
They have been highly competitive. Don't look now. LSU up to number 8 in the top 25 polls. Remember, they lost that first game to USC, which they should not have lost. USC, I believe in their last 13 games, Jake, they're 5-8, Southern Cal. That's an aside. We won't go down that rabbit hole right now. But Nussmeier slinging it. Kyron Lacy, a total stud. Arkansas at night in Fayetteville. Arkansas always plays LSU tough. They always play LSU tough. This is a great rivalry game. I believe they used to always play the last week of the season. I'll just side with you here. Give me the fight in Sam
That's
Pittman's.
What I'm talking
about. Yeah, you got to go with the fight in Sam Pittman's at home at night. Kind of compound that huge win over Tennessee. If they do this, that could certainly be a big one. All right, let's stay in the SEC before we get to this last game. Auburn at number 19, Missouri. 12 noon on ESPN. Mizzou, just a short 4.5-point favorite. The total here is 51.5 points. Auburn winless in the SEC, Jake. They're 2-4 overall, 0-3 in the SEC. And when I see this matchup, I just kind of do this right here, and I say, Auburn's going to win this game outright. Like, this is the game where Auburn comes in, puts it all together, doesn't turn the ball over. Brady Cook and that offense can't get it going. This is the game where Auburn spoils Missouri's season.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, when I just see this game here, Auburn at Missouri at noon, you know, Missouri had such high hopes at the game of the season, you know, and still can do what they want to do. I mean, they're 5-1 right now. They haven't been playing as clean or as good. They're not passing the eye test right now, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And let me just tell you, this game right here for me, it's just very uninspiring.
Yes, it is.
You know, I think Missouri wins. I think Auburn still has their troubles. I think they turn the ball over. I think Missouri just plays opportunistic. And I think they're going to win solely because of the turnover ratio and it being at noon.
Okay. I'm rechecking the line because I just went to ESPN and it said Missouri is now a 7-point favorite. I'm going to double check this, Spencer. Oh, it's still 4 at BetOnline where I get my odds. So, okay. 4.5. Well, there you go. I had 4.5 earlier. Now it's 4. That tells you the sharps are out there grabbing up some Hugh Freeze stock. I'll stick with that. I just think this is the one. I mean, is Auburn really going to start 0-4 in the SEC? Come on. Come on. No, be smarter than that. I'm the smartest man in the room. You know that. All right, let's wrap things up. That's a joke, obviously. Number 12, Notre Dame coming into Atlanta to take on Georgia Tech, 3:30 p.m. kick on ESPN. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which has been talked about at length during this podcast. Notre Dame, a huge 11-point favorite on the road. The total here, 49.5. Look, Brent Key's Georgia Tech team has been physical. They fight. They have not laid down in any game so far this season. Jake, I think 11 points is way too many here.
See, I think it's way too many. I thought I was going to jig and I thought you were going to jag and you're like, okay. Hey, 11's, you know, just do what you normally do. We're like, hey, 11's way too many. What? Well, maybe there might be a reason.
They go 4-1 last week. So thank you.
And so I'm here. I'm a techer on this. I don't know if they win this football game, but they definitely fight and they definitely keep it close. Big fan of Brent Key right now and what they're doing and their offense. So, and I really don't know who Notre Dame is. And I don't know if they
neither
know.
Neither do I. I totally agree with you on that.
So
I totally agree with you on that. I think when Notre Dame comes to Atlanta, Georgia Tech's going to bring some juice. Should be a good atmosphere, I would assume.
At the Benz.
Weather's going to be perfect at the Benz. Is the roof going to be open? I don't know. Surely there will be plenty of Golden Domers inside that stadium. There is a large contingency of Notre Dame alumni in the city of Atlanta. But you got to think Tech's going to put forth their best effort. There's no question about it. Haynes King being able to get outside the pocket and utilize him in the run game is huge. It looks like on ESPN, this line has moved to 11.5. But I like Haynes King better than Riley Leonard at this point. Listen to these stats, dude.
Tell me.
Riley Leonard, 979 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Haynes King, almost 1,600 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's not even counting what he does on the ground. I just think the way Tech can attack Notre Dame's defense will be able to keep them in this game. There's no question about it. How will Tech's defense respond? That will be the biggest question. I like Tech. ESPN's matchup predictor gives Tech a 16% chance to win this game. The analytics are wrong on that.
I think so. They're wrong on this.
Yeah, they're definitely wrong. So we both like Tech in that game. Should be a good one to watch as well. Plenty of great football to watch this weekend. No doubt about it. A couple of extra stats here on that Georgia-Texas game. Get this. Georgia is 1-5 against the spread this season. They covered against Clemson in the opening weekend, and they have lost every game against the spread since then. On the flip side, Texas, 5-1 against the spread. Las Vegas just does not give out free money, okay? It will always somewhat even back out.
Yeah.
That's why I like the dogs with the points. A statistic here, which may either point to Texas being elite or them not having played anybody. They haven't won a game by less than 19 points this season. It's pretty damn impressive. So we'll see. This will be the first time Georgia is an away underdog since they played at Alabama in 2020.
There you go. Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question is if you knew. I mean, I don't know. Can't tell you the last time they were underdogs, but you just did. 2020.
You love my stats, don't you, bud?
Man, you're great. You're great at it.
And honestly, I don't do anything for you except steal an hour and a half out of your week. I give you some stats to hopefully you walk into the locker room tomorrow and you're like, guys, I got a great stat for you.
Oh, you have no idea how many times I'm doing it. We're having these locker room talks and arguments, and I pull out a Drew Butler punt and pass stat out of my back pocket. I say, hey, you know what? Did you hear this? I heard this on the Punt and Pass podcast last night. You have no idea. I listened to it on the way to work this morning.
Love
it. This is what I got for you.
My man. Hey, just keep the name relevant somehow, some way. I'm clinging on to any relevancy I can hold on to. I'm washed up. I love my wife. We've been married 10 plus years. I got 3 daughters now. I'm just trying to hold on, Jake Fromm. Just trying to hold on.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what? And I also represent the Punt and Pass podcast hat on a daily to the facility. So, man, I'm repping. We're worldwide.
We are worldwide. Shout out Brandon Kramer down in Destin, Florida. He ordered a hat. We shipped it off to him this past week, and he should have gotten it yesterday. So thanks so much for the support, Brandon. Go grab a hat at puntandpass.com. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. Go download the Prize Picks app. Please do that. Use the promo code PUNT. When you play your first $5 entry, you win $50 instantly, win or lose. The top daily fantasy platform in North America, simply the best longtime supporter of the Punt and Pass podcast. It's very simple. All you have to do is pick 2 to 6 players, predict that they will go more or less in their stat projection, watch the winnings roll in. You can win 100 times your money. I gave you my pick earlier, Quinn Ewers, Texas quarterback, more than 255.5 passing yards. Arian Smith, Georgia wide receiver, more than 49.5 receiving yards. It's as simple as that. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
Going to be a great weekend for ball, man. Tune in, lock in. Can't wait to see you guys back on Monday.
All righty. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Enjoy the great fall weather, and we will talk to you on Monday. See ya.
We out.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom! Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really. Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.